I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The 14th annual Fisher Poets Weekend takes place in the last weekend of February, and this year there's a new venue and a unique event. Lisa and Gordon Clement of Clemente's Restaurant in downtown Astoria are offering a special dinner on Friday, February 25th, with themed drinks mixed by author-filmmaker Bill Carter of Red Summer and Miss Sarajevo fame. There will be Fisher Poets reading, a showing of Red Summer. The evening itself is devoted to helping inform the public about the proposed Pebble Mine project in Alaska's Bristol Bay, America's richest salmon fishery. The New York Times just wrote an editorial in opposition to the Pebble Mine in this past Sunday's edition. Today we have Lisa Clement and Gordon Clement here in the studio and Bill Carter on the phone with us from his home in Arizona. Hi, Gordon. Nice to see you here today.
Hello, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Lisa, lovely
Donna
to have you
well.
In the studio. Excellent. And Bill Carter, are you there?
I am here. Thanks.
Excellent. Happy birthday, Bill.
Oh, thank you. That's right.
We're pleased to have you on the program today and also next week. We're looking forward to this event. And before we talk about Bristol Bay, Pebble Mine, and Fisher Poets and all of that, I'm going to ask everyone to just talk a little bit about themselves. So I'm going to start with Gordon and say, Gordon, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm a chef here in Astoria at a restaurant with my wife and married into her family, which are Fisher family for many generations now, and probably wouldn't have been allowed into the family if I hadn't made a couple trips to Bristol Bay and helped them with on their gillnet boat.
So you have experience fishing in Bristol Bay.
I do.
Right. And I know you love to cook fish.
Yeah.
And eat fish.
Both.
Exactly. Lisa,
daily.
Please tell us about yourself.
I am from a fourth generation salmon fishing family from the Columbia River that immigrated from Croatia, which kind of puts an extra tie-in with Bill and I because of his history and mine. And my husband, Gordon, and I own Clemente's, and I am the day chef, and he is the evening chef. And yes, we love to cook salmon. I have never been to Bristol Bay. The girls were not really encouraged to go. The men in the family always went to fish, and we always stayed home. So Gordon has been able to experience that firsthand, and I've had the secondhand fruits of that my whole life.
Well, you have a reverence for salmon, I know, mm-hmm. Lisa. That runs
definitely
in your blood, for sure. Yeah. And Bill Carter, please tell us a little bit about yourself for the listening audience who may not be familiar with your books, your films. Tell us about yourself.
My name is Bill Carter. I write books. I make films. I'm a dad of two. The books, you know, like Lisa was kind of mentioning it, the books... The first book is Fools Rush In, which has a history, which basically is based in Bosnia during the Bosnian War. It's in Sarajevo. And all the, it's a nonfiction book and all some things I did plus so many people I met that changed my life. And the second book is over 4 years of fishing in Bristol Bay, salmon.
And I've read both of your books, Red Summer and Fools Rush In, and they are both fabulous books, Bill.
Oh, great. Yeah, and you know, the last time I was in, my first trip to Astoria was last year, and we had this amazing event in Clemente's, which was really fun, and I think I met all the people that, or a lot of the people that are involved in this Fisher Poets gathering, so they asked me to come back, and it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
And so how did this evening, Gordon and Lisa and Bill, and we'll just kind of take turns talking here a little bit, is how did this evening come about? Lisa, why don't you maybe take the first one on this one?
Sure. Michael Phillips from Watershed suggested that we have this event centered around Fisher Poets Weekend just because it ties in so perfectly with what the nature of the event is, fishing and awareness, and to certainly make known the extreme risk of the Pebble Mine and why we want to fight it and do the fundraiser for that just all ties in so perfectly because we have such a link to Bristol Bay in our area.
People aren't aware of that, but we have salmon fishermen, generations of salmon fishermen here in the Columbia River in Astoria, and they also fish in the summers in Bristol Bay in Alaska.
Yes, for generations, my family has been going every summer. It's the biggest source of income for them. And, you know, to be in that pristine area with that the biggest sockeye salmon run in the world, and to support that's very important, and to fight against what could possibly destroy it is also very relevant and important.
I know that the New York Times editorial talked about the fact that this proposed gold and copper operation known as Pebble Mine would affect huge areas of clear running headwater streams and wetlands that feed the bay. And they said at the end of their editorial, we are certain that the EPA will find that the mine presents unacceptable risks and should not be allowed to proceed. A lot of people aren't aware of it, though, Gordon, so why don't you tell us your thoughts about it, please?
It doesn't matter where you live, whether you live in Naknek, Astoria, or, you know, Maine. If you like to eat wild salmon and you like to buy it, you know, in a grocery store and can't go there yourself and catch it, you're buying salmon from Bristol Bay most often. We buy salmon for the restaurant that is, you know, when it's not available here in the Columbia. It comes from up there and the multiple canneries and rivers that are there. One of the things about the mine that is just so mind-blowing is that it's the risks so far outweigh the benefits. The mineral value that they're going to get out of it is debated widely, but it's finite, whereas the salmon come back every year. They have been for millennia. The jobs that they say that they're going to create are a lot less than every year the people are in the fishing industry. I believe it's something like 11,000 or more people employed in harvesting and processing of the fish versus somewhere around 2,000 people that they're going to hire for the mine. They want to build an 86-mile road that's going to cut across a plethora of streams, which... we're learning more and more these days about the impact of roads, not only on the drainage and to the tributaries and everything, but also on the other animals that don't like to cross roads, and make it easier for people basically to access that area and to get in there and bring in all the bad things that so often happen. There's a really good article in the December National Geographic, as you mentioned, also the New York Times. It hopefully will be picked up by the EPA and rejected. But there's, you know, there, especially in an area that is resource rich like Alaska, and the, I don't want to say regimes, but the political atmosphere that is there is often pretty centered towards industry, and there's something that needs to be done about it on a small level, you know, as well as national.
And Bill, tell us, please, your perspective. Give us your perspective on Pebble Mine and how you got involved with this.
I got involved. I mean, if you fish up there, which I did, and try to still do, you're going to be involved in it because it's just this looming shadow over everything that you are doing, which you might not be doing anymore. It's talked about a lot by all fishermen, which is interesting because, you know, fishermen, by nature, one, they'll talk to each other at bars after the season, but in general, they don't always hang out together. But this is one of those issues that has brought together a great deal of coalitions that maybe don't necessarily hang out together. Both sides of the parties, Native Americans, fishermen. So it's an interesting group of people. I got involved even more because I wrote about it in Red Summer, and then I also, my third book, which I'm working on, is on the copper industry. And I live in a copper town. I live in a mining town. And so I had a particular interest because of where I live that I started to explore what is copper, how is it done around the world. And it really isn't necessarily a good or bad. It's the good, bad, and ugly. It's all of it. You know, we're talking on the phone right now because of copper, period. So it's one of those things that's very interesting because as a writer, you're coming at this, you basically start this book basically saying I'm a hypocrite because we all use copper. But the argument about Pebble isn't whether we need copper or not. It's whether this mine in this place is correct. And there's no way you can argue that it is. And I've spent a lot of time with the people that run this company. And I've taken a tour of the mine. I've spent a lot of time in Iliamna, Nondalton, And it's almost insanity to think that you can pull this mine off without destroying that fishery. It's not almost. It is insanity. And it isn't really, I'm not saying that from an emotional point of view. The science of it, the Gordon hinted at the jobs alone, it doesn't even make sense. The real number of jobs is really more like 800 to 1,000 over 40 years, 50, 60 years, whereas fishing, like you said, is upwards of 11,000. Fishery makes $300 to $400 million a year, every year, for potentially hundreds of years, whereas the mine is yeah, it's a lot of money, $250 billion to $300 billion, but most of that will be going out of this, it'd be going to people who own stock, which is, by the way, isn't any of us on this radio or in Astoria or where I live. So, you know, I got involved because it's one of those things where it doesn't make any sense from any angle. And like Gordon said, if you live in North Carolina, Kansas City, or wherever you live, if you want to eat wild salmon, you have to save Bristol Bay. Yes, you can get Copper River salmon. Yes, you can get, you know, various, you know, runs. But there is nowhere on earth like Bristol Bay because it has 40 million salmon a year. So this is one of those things that takes an entire, it doesn't just take Alaskans, it takes a whole a nation to try to stop it.
Where are we in the process? Because Pebble Mine's been now, I mean, well, it hasn't been a few years. They keep trying to, I mean, however wrong-headed this idea might be, they are continuing to push forward, and so there needs to continue to be a campaign and educate more people and have more awareness about it. I mean, where are we in this process then?
It's tricky. We're in a really good spot. This EPA thing is, you know, it's been on the quiet, it's been on the QT. I knew it was happening about 6 months ago. It's a big deal that they're going to do this, that they're going to study it, because I'm almost positive that, again, any sane person will see a study of this and say, well, we got to create a protected watershed, which is what really the aim is. In Alaska, here's the problem. Alaska is, like Gordon was talking about, it's very pro-industry, pro-mining, pro-oil, which is fine. I'm not really getting into that or not getting into that. But the permitting process, if you begin permitting Pebble Mine, you actually almost constitutionally can't stop it. So what everybody's efforts are going toward, all these people, all these groups are trying to stop even the very first permit being investigated. Because once they start, it's very hard to stop it in Alaska.
So they don't have any permits yet?
They have no permits.
Okay, all right, good. So yeah, this is a good time to still just stop it right now.
Word is really, is that the mine has not presented a mine plan. A mine plan is what, you know, will become very public, very debated, and that's when the permitting starts. Because then the permit office says, okay, you want to use 400, you know, kilowatts of power, you want to have 86 miles, you know, they have to see that on paper, and then everything starts. The problem is the people in the permitting office in Alaska are all from the mining industry. So, you know what I mean, it's a little bit of a nepotism vibe. So once it gets into that process, there's nobody in the office of the permitting group that's going to stop this mine. You know, the mine plan has fluctuated from, you know, three tailings dam or, you know, three dams taller than any dam on earth to dumping this stuff into the lake to, I mean, they have not presented a plan yet.
Okay, so are you hopeful, Bill, then? I mean, and we're going to talk in the last half of this program about the actual event on Friday, which really, which is a week from this coming Friday, which in a way it sounds like maybe we're hopeful that we can protect this rich and important, powerful salmon fishery.
I think the only hope is this EPA thing, because unless you have an act of Congress or an executive decision like the EPA thing, I don't think he'll stop it. I don't think it will stop because of politics in Alaska or anything else. I think it will take the EPA. But the EPA and the Obama administration are people that have to listen to, you know, it's hopefully listen to its people. And if they do, then, you know, there's a lot of people behind stopping this, then the EPA will do the right thing. It's part of what goes into the equation.
So the public, we can still weigh in. And I'm going to just take this moment now to do a station ID and say that you are listening to Talk of Our Towns on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today we're talking about a couple of things. It's all tied into one overarching
theme here, the annual Fisher Poets Gathering, this is the 14th year for that, is the last weekend of February, which is February 25th, 26th, and 27th. On Friday night, there's a special event at Clemente's Restaurant, and I have in the studio Lisa and Gordon Clement, and also by phone I have Bill Carter, who is an author and filmmaker. His book Red Summer and Miss Sarajevo have been highly regarded in the industry and literary circles and filmmaking circles. And Bill is coming here, and he is going to mix drinks, and there's going to be a special dinner. There will be Fisher Poets reading, and all of this will be happening at Clemente's on Friday the 25th. So just by showing up and having dinner and drinking and seeing the film Red Summer, which I think is about 15 minutes long, and hearing Fisher Poets, you are contributing to helping protect Bristol Bay, because a portion of the proceeds from that evening will be going to the Watershed Council and Trout Unlimited. And maybe we should talk about who are the people who are involved in this and really on the front lines.
Trout Unlimited is a real big, you know, wedge. They're the ones that are really driving the machine of trying to stop it. So are the National Resource Defense Council out of, you know, they're based in Los Angeles, but they're a big player. There's a lot of native groups out of Dillingham and that area that are also really handling the Alaskan part of it, because they have an influence, so they're doing it. Plus, you know, I did a big thing in, interesting, in Lake Chelan in Washington, where I was asked by the industry of Alaska fishermen, like, you know, the canneries, Trident, Peter Pan, these people, Bumblebee, and the shipping industry and the oil industry, to come and talk to them. And that was fascinating, because this is the CEOs, and these are the power players of the industry that in general do not speak out politically. And I showed them Red Summer and read from the book, and they kind of were shocked. And some of them really, really stood up at, you know, publicly amongst their peers and said, we got to try to do something about this. So I think that there's a lot of people that don't want Pebble Mine to happen, whether it's quietly on those CEO kind of sides or very outward with, like, Trout Unlimited.
And we can all be part of that. And Lisa, why don't you talk a little bit about what's going to be happening at Clemente's on Friday, February 25th, starting at, I think, 6 o'clock.
Yes, at 6 o'clock we're going to be starting the evening off with a lineup of about 10 Fisher poets that are going to have a little bit of a link in some way to Alaska and Pebble Mine, and they're sort of weighing in on their views through poetry, prose, and of course with Bill's film is going to be shown at 8, as well as him reading and speaking a little bit about all of that. Anyone can come. It's open to anyone, of course, and you can get in with a button, or this year the Fisher Poets have put into place a $5 event charge, meaning you can come into any event instead of just buy the button for the weekend. You can spend $5 and just get in for the evening. We're going to have a number of menus, all different price ranges, little snacks to big dinners, and there'll be proceeds. A certain amount of the proceeds will be going to directly to fight the Pebble Mine. One other thing I wanted to say was that this is not only just a fishery that's threatened, but it's a sustainable fishery, which is very important. It's been deemed sustainable by the Marine Stewardship Council, and that's just not just something very important for people to know, that this is not just a fishery, but it's a sustainable fishery. So there's a very good model in place, and it's threatened by the mine.
The reason it's deemed sustainable is excuse me, is the habitat, and giving the salmon a place to spawn, and without that, they would be surely gone.
Right. And also, Bill Carter, you're going to be serving as a bartender. You're donating all of your tips, and there will be some special drinks that night, right, Lisa?
Yeah, we have created some drinks centered around the bill and the fight, and Dry Fly Distillery has become a sponsor. They're in Washington, and they'll be coming down and helping sponsor the event. The Cannery Pier Hotel is and the Banker's Suite are both accommodation sponsors. So yes, and Bill will be a guest bartender for us. He's going to mix some drinks behind the bar, and a fun way to fundraise. And the whole event should be really really enjoyable.
So people, if people want to eat dinner there, they should mm-hmm. call and make reservations for dinner, and because other people will wander in later, perhaps they've eaten at home, and they'll just come down maybe for the film at 8, and they'll walk in with their weekend Fisher Poets button or their event button. So that part is open to everyone, but if you want to have dinner, then people need to call and make a dinner reservation.
Yeah, it's always nice to know who's going to come. I think that, you know, with the nature of the event and Fisher Poets, the venue is probably going to be packed. So it would be certainly nice for people to call and reserve their spot. Certainly they can stay all evening. We're not going to rotate tables quickly. We want people to come and stay. And it begins at 6. You can come for dinner at 5. Dinner starts at 5. The event starts at 6. So the first lineup of poets for the evening is at 6 p.m. And then Bill's film is scheduled to start around 8.
Okay, and Bill, I understand you will also be signing books there if people want to get Red Summer or Miss Sarajevo. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'll have Red Summer or Fools Rush Into the books, and Miss Sarajevo is the other film.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm sure we'll have the books and we'll sign. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those events where you want it to be, it's going to have some information, but we want it to be also, you know, basically a fun night out also. You want to have both.
Yes, I agree. And that combination of entertainment, information, camaraderie, it's a great, fun way to do something that's good for you as a person and really helps protect this salmon fishery, which is so vital and important. So we'll all be eating salmon and listening to Fisher Poets and drinking your special drinks. I don't know
that's
what
right.
you're going to concoct there. But and so it is. It's a great way to be together. And I think we should talk a little bit about Mike Phillips and the Watershed Council, because he really has orchestrated a lot of this. So I don't know, would you like to talk about that, Bill, about your connection with him?
Yeah, you know, I've known Mike several years. He, you know, he kind of just reached out to me through the internet as a, you know, just a fan of Fools Rush In. And at the time he was in a band, which I believe Lisa is going to be kind of ending the night, right?
Oh, you're having music, Lisa, too.
Saturday night, Michael's in a really wonderful band called Fenby. And they're going to be a huge part of our evening Saturday night for Fisher Poets. It's just going to tie right in, and they're going to be in the lounge, and we're super excited about that as well. So, yeah.
And it's a great band, and you know, it's really the funny story is that he wanted to really help me in kind of a young person way, which is kind of social media. And at the time when he said that to me, I didn't really know how to have him help me, because he was just a musician and kind of a you know, not grounded in anything. And all of a sudden he joined Watershed, which is a great organization out of Portland. And he was suddenly in a position to do all those things and more. And, you know, he really got the ball rolling by reaching out to me and then my publisher, and they started talking, and they made a deal. And it's been amazing, because what Watershed, all their clients are things that we all of us on this radio would really believe in, you know, organic foods, organic wines. It's been an amazing thing to be hooked up with Mike and Watershed.
And also, Lisa, you said that on your website, which is www.clementes, C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E-S, restaurant.com, you can find out about the event on Friday night. They're also an official Fisher Poets venue, so you have things happening Friday and Saturday night. You can also make a reservation. You can find out about Trout Unlimited and the Watershed Council. The phone number for Clementes is 503-325-1067. And then clementesrestaurant.com on the internet. So we have just a few minutes left. So Bill, we'll end with you, and I'm going to go ahead and start with Gordon. Gordon, what would you like people to know? Now people know that they can participate by coming on Friday night. If somehow people are listening to this program, and they listen all over the world, you're not able to come to this event, but you want to know more about Pebble Mine, about Bristol Bay, what can people do, Gordon?
They can just... open their eyes a little bit, open their minds, and do a little reading. Like I said, both of us mentioned, you mentioned the New York Times article, which I'm sure is available, if not in, you know, physical paper form, then online.
And yes, Sunday editorial this past.
Mm-hmm, the National Geographic article in the December issue.
You can write letters.
You can write letters, definitely. You know, get in touch with the EPA, let them know how we feel, get in touch with whoever. I mean, It's a huge important deal, and it's it feels empowering to be able to at least, you know, say your piece about it to somebody that's going to listen.
Good. And
it's very important.
Good for you and Lisa for hosting this event to make people more aware.
Well, yeah, thank you to Michael definitely for getting us in touch with Bill and you know, and be able to do something to, you know, help our future generations be able to enjoy the salmon the way that we do and forever, hopefully. And it's not just about us too, I'd like to say. Also the those tailings and dams in the mine can never fail. You know, it's not just people that like to eat salmon. There's, you know, there's keystone species. There's bear. There's, you know, there's
exactly.
Beluga. There's whales. There's everything depends on it, and we can't let it happen.
Thanks, Gordon. And Lisa?
You can read Red Summer, for one,
yes.
Which is really a wonderful book and gives a little bit of insight. You can certainly look more closely at the sockeye salmon run there and the pristine waters and the sustainability of it and the importance of it for all creatures and certainly our future generations. And you can come on Friday and support us and have a good time and really learn a lot more about real hard facts in a fun way via poetry, prose, film.
Thank you, Lisa. That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to being there. And Bill, let's talk about what you would like for the listening public to know right now about Pebble Mine, about Red Summer, and about this event that's going to be happening a week from this Friday.
Just for Pebble Mine, I would say, you know, say bristolbay.org is a really great site to go to get a lot of information. It's all one thing, you know, say bristolbay.org. And I think that Gordon hit upon it, and it's just, you know, the watershed is so important to so many things besides salmon, and that mine would have to be safe not just for 75 years but for thousands of years because of what they're going to leave behind. And that just can't happen. I think the night is going to be a really fun night of, you know, some of this talk and then some readings and some just open, you know, when a bunch of fishermen get together, it always gets a little bit, it should get a little bit crazy, I hope. So that's kind of part of it.
Good. Well, we know you will contribute to that.
Well, I'll be mixing their drinks, so I probably will.
Okay.
And then Red Summer, you know, Red Summer, I guess my website, you can buy Red Summer, probably in Astoria somewhere, I hope.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely, Bill.
And my website, you can go there, it's billcarter.cc.
Right. So. And again, thank you so much, Bill. And again, happy birthday to you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. We've made the connection here about how important salmon is to, I mean, Astoria was the salmon canning capital of the world at one point,
right.
And the Columbia River salmon, the salmon of Bristol Bay, it's all connected, so we all can do our part. So I would encourage you to come to this event and meet Bill Carter and Clemente's February 25th, Friday, part of Fisher Poets, 6 p.m. Well, I want to thank all of you who listen to this program. I'm Donna Quinn, and we air this program every Wednesday from 9:30 to 10. I want to thank our engineer this morning, Kathleen Morgane, and also local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.